Hello and welcome to Media News. Media News aims to be an authentic voice, bringing you real truthful stories from the Middle East, with a particular focus on the Kurdish question that is often ignored, self-censored or suppressed by the mainstream media platforms. This edition of our podcast is the third and final of three interviews to mark the 23rd anniversary of the abduction and imprisonment of the Kurdish leader Abdullah Öcalan on the 15th of February 1999. The first interview was with Mahmoud Patel from the Kurdish Human Rights Action Group in South Africa. The second interview was with Simon Dubbins, the International Director of Unite Union in the UK. And in this edition, we will be speaking to Barbara Spinelli, who is the co-president of the European Association of Lawyers for Democracy and World Human Rights. The Kurdish issue in Turkey is one of the denial of the identity of the Kurdish people. A denial of their identity, their history, their culture, language, their right to decide their own future. A people who, because they decided not to abandon their identity, were criminalized by the Turkish state and have been subjected for almost 100 years since the establishment of the modern Turkish state to the most brutal and violent campaigns of repression that have included widespread war crimes of ethnic cleansing and forced displacement and crimes against humanity. Widespread crimes that, despite being recognized by the UN and different human rights groups, that they have suffered to the almost universal silence of the international community and global governments who have supported the Turkish state's brutal suppression of the Kurds with silence and, worse, complicity, because of arms deals, of economic interests that have meant that governments have not robustly questioned or challenged the Turkish state's preferred framing of the Kurdish issue in any other way than one of fighting terrorism. This has left the Kurds to struggle mostly alone. However, after the events in North and East Syria, particularly the Kurds' defense of the city of Kobani against an overwhelming attack by ISIS in 2004, the world is beginning to recognize the Kurds as brave freedom fighters and people who share the values of the democratic world in fighting against racism, sexism, and also fighting against radical jihadist terrorist organizations such as ISIS and Al-Qaeda, while at the same time fighting for a radical democracy in the Middle East that promotes equal representation, women's freedom, and progressive ecological principles. On November the 12th, 1998, Abdullah Öcalan, leader of the Kurdistan Workers' Party, having been pressurized by Turkey and the Assad regime to leave Syria and having traveled to Russia, arrived at Rome's airport after arriving on a flight from Moscow, where he applied for political asylum. The prime minister of the day, Massimo D'Alema, was put under a huge amount of political pressure as tens of thousands of Kurds gathered in Rome's piazzas in support of their leader, and European countries and leaders were thrown into a panic about what to do about this situation. In the end, Öcalan himself, having spent 2 months in Rome, technically under house arrest, but able to receive guests and visitors at the housing complex where he was staying, and himself not wanting to outstay his welcome and put the Italian Prime Minister Massimo D'Alema under any more pressure than was already coming from mainly Turkey, US, and also other intelligence agencies, he decided to leave Rome. And as we know, after that, then traveling back to Russia, then to Greece, and eventually arrived in Nairobi in Kenya, where he was abducted as he left the Greek embassy in Nairobi en route to South Africa, where Nelson Mandela's government had guaranteed him political asylum. Abducted and flown back to Turkey and onto the high-security prison island of İmralı, where he has spent the last 23 years in almost total isolation. So, to look at the case of Abdullah Öcalan from an Italian perspective, an international human rights perspective, and to find out more about the İmralı initiative, I am very pleased and honored to be joined today by Barbara Spinelli. Barbara Spinelli is the co-president of the European Association of Lawyers for Democracy and World Human Rights, a human rights lawyer who has been banned from Turkey for her collaboration with lawyers of Abdullah Öcalan. She is a member of the Bologna Bar Council Human Rights Committee and of the Commission for Relations in the Mediterranean Area of the Italian Bar Council and femicide expert for the United Nations. Barbara, welcome to Media News. Thank you so much. I know you've had such a very busy day already, and I really appreciate you just being able to talk to us about this today. Perhaps we can begin by me asking you if you can give us just a little bit of background into your own involvement with the case of Abdullah Öcalan, the Kurds, and what you remember or know from his time in Rome in 1998.
Yeah, thank you so much for this invitation. It's really a pleasure for me to be with you today at the end of the work of the Imralik delegations. And yeah, Öcalan has been recognized by Italian authorities as refugee. So is I think is the only refugee that is detained in isolation since long time, just because for the same reason that he obtained refugee status. After that, we have to say that Italian government during this long time did really nothing to support his freedom, and that is of course an issue because we are talking about human rights, and Turkey is part of the Council of Europe, and Turkey has ratified very relevant treaties, so has the duty to respect human rights, and is the international obligation of Turkey's authorities are not only something that is relevant for Turkish society, but are something that are relevant for all the European and Council of Europe society, because if there is a vulnus, we can say, in the respect of human rights, in the respect of the human rights system, this is a problem for all the mechanism. Something broke the mechanism, and so it is an issue that everyone or every human right activist, every lawyers, every jurist need to take care and to follow. Because we are talking about the implementation of the judgment of human rights. I'm a little bit tired.
No, don't worry.
We are talking about the implementation of the judgments of the European Court of Human Rights. So yes. The European Court says that Öcalan has the right to hope. And this means that a long time is passed since this judgment, and we have no news, not only about his hope to be free, but also about his life, and also about his dignity of political prisoner. We don't know nothing since the 25th of March of last year, if he's alive or not. What are his health condition? So this is a human rights issue that must be on the agenda of all international and national human rights authorities.
Of course, yeah. And today, as you mentioned there in the beginning, you have been involved with the international initiative for most of the day. Can you tell us anything about what you've been doing?
Yes, of course, before the delegation, we asked the Ministry of Justice to have a virtual visit to Imrali, as it's not possible to have physically, especially for me, because I'm still banned and my application is still pending also in front of the European Court of Human Rights. But we had no answer. This is the first thing that of we course. Have to say, because as delegation, we are independent, so we must ask also to the government to have the access to our observation activities, but this was not possible. And we have two long days meeting the civil society organization, women, political parties, human rights association. And we had very worrying information from them. Tomorrow we will do our press releases delegation, yeah. And then we will prepare our report. And we have to say that since last year delegation, we had some worrying news that will make our report stronger than last year. So.
Okay, because yeah, so in past years, I think you were able, I mean, I don't know if you actually physically went to Turkey, did you in the past years?
Of course, I've been an international observer from 2014 to 2017. And during this period, I was observer, as I was trial observer at KJK trial against Öcalan lawyers. So I was there quite every hearing. And then I was also electoral observer in Baku region during the 2015-2016 election. Mm-hmm. But the most worrying part of my experience was the observation of the city under the curfew. So I took part to the delegation that went in Cizre in September 2015. I was the only international observer without...
Barbara, please tell us, share a little bit about that with us, if you don't mind.
Well...
I know.
I did a report about the experience. I think it was the most terrible experience of my life because I had the chance to see for the first time directly with my eyes. Immediately, we were the first to enter after the curfew ended. We went by foot because we were stopped by police before Midyat. So it was a long walk for us, really, really long walk to arrive in Cizre. And we spent the night before the day that we entered in the city in a little village around there that was under the curfew. So we had the armored vehicles around us. And when we arrived, we saw it was like to be in Kobane, really, because all the there was a big destruction in there. And the first time we saw was the dead body of Mehmet Erdogan. That was an old man that after the end of the curfew went out to take the bread for because they were hungry after 1 week without water, without electricity, with snipers. So you cannot go out. And so he was killed in his head by a snipers. And we saw his body and the family was not able to go out because they were afraid to be killed, also if the curfew was ended. So we were the first to arrive in there. And it was so terrible to talk with the family of the children and the young women that have been killed in 9 people in 3 days. And this was just the first curfew. And we saw also animals killed in the street. We saw the water supplies destroyed. It was clear that the aim was not just making war, but destroy the population, make the population impossible in her life. And I was so shocked that all of this can happen when people was going on holidays in Antalya in the meanwhile, because we were in September and public opinion was not aware of that. So immediately after we ended our delegation, we did a report to international authorities and also to, I went to the Human Rights Commission in the Italian Parliament. Some parliament make some public intervention about that, but the attention was not so much. So I continued my activities and I went to Yuksekova, to Gever, to Shirnak, to see, you know, the curfew was going on, then Cizre was totally destroyed. And I continue this observation and this report. And this is also why I've been banned, of course, from Turkey.
Oh,
but it was also sad because I had the chance to see with my eyes the day before the election in Şırnak one operation from the hotel where I was staying. And everything was so cruel and there was so much impunity about that period that, in my opinion, was the starting of what we can talk really a cultural genocide. So actually, I'm expressing my personal opinion, and it's not the first time that I express it. But I think that what I heard in these 2 days of delegation can confirm that the Öcalan, the start, the end of the peace process and the increasing isolation of Mr. Öcalan is really a part of a cultural genocide against Kurds that comprehend also the restriction that are increasing of the rights of Kurdish political prisoners that are facing the same regime that before was only reserved to Imrali guests.
Mm-hmm.
And also the legalization of extra punishment of torture against political prisoner, and also the political femicide, and also the case of Pervi, of the a woman politician affected by dementia. I'm sorry, I don't remember exactly.
It's fine.
I think Pervin Buldan, if I'm not
Pervan Buldan, yes, exactly, yes.
So this is terrible, but it's not only her. A lot of political prisoners are facing the same kind of torture, and also the political femicide outside the prison, the persecution of lawyer, human rights activists, the corruption of young generation, the EDP ban that is still pending against the constitutional court. All these are like part of a mosaic that we can call political and cultural genocide, or the deportation of the displacement, the demographic change after the curfew. We know what was the result of of this displacement that concerned more than 3 million of people, if I'm not saying the wrong, if I well remember. So this is something that we can show in there. We have the duty to show to European and the world civil society in their real dimension, because we are not talking only about Öcalan. We are talking about the will to destroy a population, the will to destroy our resistance, the will to destroy the cultural background of a people, of a community. And this is something that is really unacceptable.
And isn't it extraordinary how governments, I mean, what you have just said is just the most articulate description, and I totally agree with you, the most articulate description of what is exactly happening to the Kurdish people right at this moment, together with the kind of expansionism of Erdogan into northern Syria and into northern Iraq, and the displacement of the Kurds in Afrin, and the terrible and systematic human rights and femicide that is going on in Afrin as well. Isn't it extraordinary that governments are just completely silent and indeed complicit? Some governments are actually selling weapons to the Turkish regime to carry out this cultural genocide. Barbara, while you're here, I mean, we don't often get the chance and opportunity to talk to somebody who perhaps might know, like, what is the general situation for Kurds in Italy, and how much support does the Kurdish freedom struggle have in Italy? are the PKK criminalized, for example, in the same way in Italy as they are in Germany and UK?
No, in Italy the situation is better, we can say, and the courts in Italy have a strong community. They have the right to speak and do political, of course, meeting. Of course, not as PKK because it is a European ban, but for example, we have two big demonstrations every year for during this day, one in Milan, one in Rome. And also, we are a lot of, we have a network that is doing every time of the year activities, information activities, and political meeting with lawyers, activists, and so on. And also at cultural level, we have also a big production of video about what is going on, and we are very active, and a lot of Italian municipality gave honorary citizenship to Abdullah Öcalan, of course with the regret of the Turkish government that wrote to the mayor saying,
of course,
you are not allowed to do this. But we will continue, of course. And really many, many municipalities gave honorary citizenship to to Öcalan. And also as lawyer, we organized a lot of meeting with Öcalan lawyer to explain to Italian lawyers what is the what is going on in Turkey. Of course, after my ban, Italian lawyers are very sensitized about human rights in Turkey and also about persecution of lawyers in Turkey. So we are following not only Öcalan trial as Italian lawyers, but also CEDE lawyers. We know about Barkim, Ebru Timtik, that you know, she died after the hunger strike. She also, we can say that she also was a political prisoner.
Of course.
And Selçuk Kozagaçlı and the sister of Barkim Timtik, Ayta Çünsal, they are still in prison, and we are going to visit them. I mean, I can't, but other lawyers are going. And so we are really in deep about Turkish situation in Italy, also because of the right to the, we are not talking only about torture and right to life, a right to hope for Mr. Öcalan, but also the right to defense that must be respected for everyone. And is really crazy that he's not allowed since March to talk with his lawyer. This is not acceptable. And also if he has disciplinary sanction cannot affect the right to defense, never. And this is something that lawyer cannot accept for every human beings everywhere in the world. So our aim is also to sensitize the legal community for the respect of the right to defense and legal assistance for Mr. Öcalan. This is something that we follow. We really care also about the role of lawyer that and the right to defense that should be respected.
Of course, Barbara Spinelli. The way that you described the isolation of Öcalan as part of a mosaic of pieces in the general sort of makeup of the cultural genocide of the Kurds is so true. And the way that you described how Öcalan's isolation began the isolation of political prisoners in Turkey, and the issue of sick prisoners who the Turkish government seemed to just leave to die now in Turkish prisons. I'd love to speak longer with you. Time is of the essence, obviously. Good luck with your work tomorrow, with the continuing work with the international initiative. I'll just leave the last word with you if there was anything else that you would like just to say in conclusion.
that we have to continue to fight for human rights, because this is an issue that is about democracy, about rule of law. It's not about Turkey, it's not about Kurdish people, it's not about Mr. Ocalan. We have to defend the rule of law and human rights. And so every one of us have to continue to support this struggle and the peace process, because we know actually how the peace is really compromised in Europe. So really we have to continue on that path to focus on that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Barbara Spinelli, human rights lawyer, co-president of the European Association of Lawyers for Democracy and World Human Rights. It's been a great pleasure to talk to you today, and thank you very much, and good luck with your work. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.